You are listening to The Talking Show on Kaechung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station. I am Nicholas Miller, and this here, across the studio, behind several inches of plexiglass, is Steve Cato.
Hi, I'm Steve Cato.
How are you doing, Steve Cato?
Oh, you know, pretty good. It's been a really big week for news.
Are you talking about that metro with the whale sculpture?
I think the biggest news, I think, is that the Target Husk has finally opened since last we broadcast. On Sunset. Oh. The one that's sort of in Thai Town.
Wow.
I think Halloween happened, but this year because of COVID it wasn't that big a deal. And so now it's like November 4th, and we've had to run reruns a little bit because we've all been too beat with freelance work, I think. But
yeah.
But since we last broadcast, right? Like the Target opening is, I think, maybe the biggest news.
Oh my goodness, that it somehow slipped under my radar, even though that's a mammoth of a news story in here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, isn't that a whale?
Yeah, I guess I remember there was a very contentious. There were lots of contentions around zoning or this or that, right?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that it was like allowed to happen based on lots of strings being pulled and exceptions being made when now Mayor Eric Garcetti was the council member for that district.
I see.
And so it's sort of like a totem of Eric Garcetti, I think. And I think I wonder if it's kind of like the portrait of Dorian Gray. And now that the Target has opened, like as long as the Target was a husk, his star was ascendant. He was sort of failing upwards from city council to mayor to possibly a seat in Biden's cabinet. And now that the husk has opened, I wonder if this means that the mayor will just shrivel up and go away. Or something. He will fail drastically. He'll be caught with his pants down. Something will happen. I wonder what's up. Wonder what this betokens.
Yeah.
For Garcetti's future.
Who knows? I mean, who knows? I don't. He seems to have somehow kept a good public opinion of him during this whole lockdown thing, which is a bit surprising. But. Well, I guess as we saw last night, public opinion can be very surprising.
Yeah, and among other things, I think the Target husk has just been there as long as I've been in Los Angeles, more or less. Like, I don't remember what that stretch of Sunset looked like before there was an uncompleted Target there.
I know, that's like, if you don't get to it first, that's definitely going to be a Norman Klein essay, that Target right there.
And what's crazy is that, like, you can't even, like, I guess you can go to a Target, but, like, this is also opening the Target in, like, the worst time ever to open a new retail establishment, right? Like, oh, yeah, you want to open a new store? This is not the time to open a new store. Don't open a new store now. Opening a retail location, don't do it.
There have been several restaurants that have opened in Pasadena during the lockdown, which I couldn't tell if they
Are
were just
serious?
In production, beforehand or, maybe, maybe I can't even speculate as to why that has happened. Just driving around the town, you'll see just opened, this fish and sticks place or something. And you think, why? Just wait a minute. But I wonder if also people are getting, maybe people are extended family are getting free rent, so they just pop up something or something like that. I don't know.
I wonder. Or I would guess that it's something that they had already gotten the loan for and everything like that, and before they have a certain sort of like payment situation where they'll have to start paying real interest if they don't actually open and use the loan, and they've already spent money from the loan. So they're sort of in this catch-22 where they have to open a restaurant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now is a terrible time to open a restaurant.
I was wondering how that works, because I was driving back from San Diego and I had to pull over to get gas somewhere along the 15 freeway yesterday. And the gas station was like, you know, in a strip mall with like a like a corporate looking branded vape shop.
And I just thought, a very pro.
Like
Normally vape shops are so down to earth.
I know, but this one was clearly like, you know, like it was franchised. That was clear.
Premium.
So I was wondering like what, like, I guess just like kind of, you know, some entrepreneur, like, does someone show up, you get a meeting with somebody and they show up with like the portfolio on like Vape World and like average earnings for that county and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then you like bring that folio to a bank. And then they look at what your assets and you put your house up or something and decide to open a version of Vape World. Is that how that stuff works?
I think it's exactly how, if Vape World is indeed a franchise, you know, like, I think it's like, you know, like that's what you would do if you were getting a Subway franchise or, you know, if you were going to open a Subway, you're like, oh, you know, like I've done some research. Like I have like a location in mind, like the commercial real estate costs this much a month. And
right. I have this much, you know, capital set aside and.
And like foot traffic and car traffic in the area is as such. And so, you know, like we can expect this many people, you know, here's Subway's projections for, you know, a similar sort of situation, you know,
right.
Or a similar style location elsewhere. So it's like, there's reason to believe that we could make this much money and I'll pay my loan back and pick me.
But like, pick me. It's probably competitive. You're probably right. Maybe not with Vape World, but you know, with Subway, I'm sure. They build a new little strip mall over there in Azusa or something, and everyone's champing at the bit to get in, get their Subway franchised.
Yeah. I also like, I mean, not so much with franchises or things that seem well thought out, because you know that like someone's done some research in those situations. You know, it's like, but I'm always surprised by businesses that are just like totally insane. Like, well, or like going into the business meeting and telling them that you want to call your business Egg Slut, or like, you know, like, hello, banker, you know, this is my portfolio. Here's my little deck. You know, I think I should open a breakfast sandwich place and I'm going to call it Egg Slut. And like the, you know, like I'm it's like,
yeah,
ew,
I think
why?
I think part of that is just like a big F you. You know, like I imagine if you're trying to open Egg Slut, you have enough cultural and financial capital that the bank, you know, the bank's going to take you.
Yeah.
So you're just like, well, I could call it Trattoria Breakfast or something really normal. I'm going to go out on a limb here and piss off the whole conservative banking industry with my absurd name. Raise eyebrows.
Call it, yeah. Dink Magic Breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Erectile coffee.
Yeah, a boner. Just boner. it's a barbecue chicken restaurant. But it's called Boner.
There's a place that I drove by the other day in Glendale on the way to my storage unit, and it looked to me like it was a marijuana and fried chicken place.
Oh man, that is. All right, so this is the All right. Southern California legalizes weed and it's relatively straight. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a dispensary, and like some dispensaries are like, whoa, party lifestyle or whatever. And some dispensaries are like, welcome to organic naturals or whatever. Like there's different vibes of dispensaries, but it's like kind of like just like a liquor store. You know, it's like you go to some liquor stores and it's all like, get White Claw, get wasted, you know. And then other liquor stores are like, they have like lots of nice wood or something, and they're like, oh, we only actually sell fine red wines for you know, that from the Bourgogne region or whatever, you know. And like that, it's all within this like very sort of straight-laced liquor store thing, but it's like this kind of synergy where it's just like, get high, eat fried food, one location. This is what the second stage of weed entrepreneurship has to be like, right? Where it's like smoke drugs, and like what's good with that is like literally something like fun to put in your mouth. That's like a greasy snack. Like that's perfect. I applaud. I'm happy that someone's gone the extra mile and put food in the equation as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They should
That's
just
fantastic.
Start Where selling we? Weed at Jack in the Box, because their campaign, their television commercials the last number
Basically.
Of years have been about being stoned, right?
Yeah, basically, Jack in the Box has been marketing itself to stoners for years. And so, like, yeah, eventually, I think, if it were to be decriminalized nationally, because I think Jack in the Box is like a national chain, right? They can't mess around on a state-by-state basis. But, like, yeah. I Jack in the Box would totally start selling weed if they could,
mm-hmm.
I think. Wow. That rules. Yeah. Where is this again? San Diego?
No, this was in Glendale.
Glendale.
I can't remember what caused me to think that. I think it was called like Chicken Blaze or something.
And the chicken like had like bloodshot eyes and was holding like a spliff or something. Or
the chicken was
chicken had
like, it was a graphic chicken, and if I remember correctly, it was, you know, it looked like it was made out of flames.
Oh, whoa.
So like it might have just been a reference to the amount of heat that needs to be applied to chicken flesh to get it to be a chicken wing, but or an edible chicken wing.
Yeah,
but
just like a totally innocent Armenian business person who was just like, I fully cook my chicken. And you're like, whoa, dude, do you like...
Is that a weed blaze?
Are you baked? Is this about weed? And he's like, I'm offended that you would ever suggest that.
There's a kebab place in Glendale that I like a lot, that the big sign guarantees no heartburn.
Oh, yeah. I know the one.
Yeah, Kebab Way.
Kebab Way.
Yeah.
Way of the Kebab, the Tao of Kebab.
Yeah. Yeah, I have gotten heartburn there before, but I don't have the heart to tell them.
Really? Really?
Yeah, they're nice people there.
Oh, that's a shame. Way. I've never been. I've always been... Hmm. It's like down the street from like the Pit and that gallery area in Glendale, right? So it's like I'm always tempted to go there because it's like, you know, you're at the opening, you're kind of far away from stuff. It's like at dinner time, you know, you're a little hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And Kebab Way is always there. And my spouse is always like, let's not eat at Kebab Way. And I'm like, have you ever been? What if it's good?
Like, it's not bad.
Doesn't look good. And it's not bad. And would you say that you got heartburn, but would you say it was worse than usual heartburn, or, you know, like what if it was just like fine heartburn?
I've only had what I would describe as mild heartburn ever. So it was mild.
I think I've only had heartburn once and it was very unpleasant. And I was like, this is what they're trying to like, you know, like the ads all make sense. You know, like you would watch. I remember being a child and you would watch like an ad for a heartburn remedy. And it would be, you know, and they would always show you these attractive graphics where it's like there'd be a human being and then like a sort of esophageal tube would be animated onto their chest.
Yeah, know? And it would go from blue to red.
Go down and soothe the air. Yeah, it's pulsing red, and then like the little green dots go down and soothe it or like coat the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, and then the human man smiles, you know, and he's like, yeah, feels relieved. Some Mitt Romney looking dude.
Yeah.
Would always be like,
sets down his chili dog
dinner again. Yeah. Or like he's enjoying the baseball game, or he's having a fine time at the ballpark or whatever, you know, and like now he can focus on his kid's little league game without feeling, you know, the heartburn from the chili dogs. And I remember just looking at it as a kid and being like, yeah, I don't have this problem, you know, but like I'm fascinated by like the fact that like it's always shown to you directly what happens. It's like the opposite of like menstrual products, where it's like if you weren't aware of the codes being associated with it, you know, as many small children are, you'd think it was just like a way to like sop up blue liquids.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a unfortunate taboo on female menstruation. Whereas yeah, there is not a taboo on eating obscene things at baseball games.
Yeah, no, that's true. But, you know, if you do eat too many obscene things at a baseball game, or if the pain persists, as it says on the side of the antacid, the heartburn remedy, you know, don't take too much more of the remedy. Instead, you should consult a physician.
Yeah, true. Well, there are many things this week to give one heartburn, not only edible things, but all sorts of things. And we know that last night was really tough for a lot of people. So we wanted to try to help you with a bit of talking to calm everyone down. So we've invited one of the most experimental and interesting of the ASMR world onto the show tonight. So everyone, put your hands together lightly for none other than Ephemeral Rift.
It's good, Sotto Roma. Sit down the dead, Thank you. Thank you. Fuck.
Goodness. I feel calmer already.
Yes.
I also feel very proud. I feel like we're getting back to the roots of the talking show here.
Yeah, that's like some automatic writing there.
Yeah. Geez, I hope we didn't just puncture your psychic state with our normal voices, as opposed to our whispery ASMR voices.
Yeah. Well, we can always talk quieter.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe we should.
That was really something, Mr. Rift.
Yeah.
I have never, in talking to Ephemeral before the show, I didn't realize how many people use this stuff to go to sleep.
Many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of a calm down relaxation thing. But I have been having trouble sleeping. I wonder if I should give it a try.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the topic of, weed businesses as well, you know, I have these drops that seem to do a good job of conking me out. But, you know, if it doesn't work, I could try some ASMR, I suppose. I always wake up in the middle of the night. That's my problem.
Yeah, that me too.
I sleep like a medieval peasant, you know, where there were supposed to be two sets of sleeping, apparently, in the Middle Ages. And I think especially now, now that I have almost nowhere to be in the mornings, that's definitely how I've been sleeping. You know, and on the weekend, actually, I would go for a walk in the middle of the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I tend to wake up at 3 o'clock. That's the time. Always 3 o'clock.
Yeah, around there, 2 to 3. And I was out in the desert, so I would just go for a little walk. And then I would see the moon and the constellations. And I got quite good at you know, it's like, it's interesting. Like when you do stare at the sky multiple times a night and you can see the stars and then you stare at it again, like you can actually learn things, which I was surprised at because it's always just looked like stuff to me, but I've never really been out there long enough and been awake and looking at it as much. And then now I was able to like consistently identify like major planets, you know, things of that nature. Made me feel good. Made me feel connected to, you know, prehistoric ancestors who were also able to perceive these same things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might start doing that now when I wake up, instead of like just sort of like scrolling through Twitter on the toilet and trying to go back to sleep. I think maybe I'll just go for a walk at 3 a.m. when I wake up next.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. Checking out the neighborhood. I mean, it was also, you know, one of those things where I was out in the desert and there's composting toilets. So if you don't need to pee in the toilet, you know, it's the middle of the night, no one's around, you might as well just wander out into the expanse and pee out there. So it sort of urges you to do it too, you know, to go on the walk in the situation. Whereas like here, I just roll out of bed and crawl over to the toilet. But yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if, you know, all the medical procedures that the doctor just did, what those all were, like the one with the tape measure.
Well, I'm sure he was taking a measurement, Steve.
Oh. Making sure that everything was the same size as it was last time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the one that was unique to me is that you know, oftentimes my doctor does come into the examination room with a vintage leather doctor's satchel, but never has he squeezed it so evocatively for me.
Yeah, I feel like whenever I go to the doctor, they're just on a computer. They don't bring instruments in. The room has already got all the instruments in it, you know, and if you need something, you can open a drawer.
That's true. Yeah. Those satchels are for house calls only.
You know, you see them in movies and stuff, but yeah. I've never seen one in real life. Yeah. Delightful. A bygone time.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to make it back to Pasadena after that. I need to take a little nap here at Kaechung.
It's forbidden.
Yeah. Well, don't tell anyone, Steve. Could you wake me in like half an hour?
No, there's no sleeping at Kaechung. You have to leave. You have to do the show and leave immediately. And then they come in and sterilize the area.
Oh.
You'd have to sleep in the car.
Okay.
Good night. I mean, that's a downer, people. I'm sorry. Good night.